Have your Bibles today. Would you open them to Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to begin with verse 18. And one of the things that I want to do today is I really want to share with you what God has given me as far as a revelation about what He wants to do through the ministry that He has given me here at this church. Now, you may say, haven't you been here for almost 14 years? And the answer is yes. But I will say that it has been a process. It has been an ongoing process. And what I want you to hear me say today is, I honestly believe that God has got a plan for every person in this room. I honestly believe that. And if you are a child here worshiping the Lord today, I want you to hear me say, God has got a purpose for your life. The devil's got a purpose too, but God's got a purpose. And I want to encourage you to be determined to know what God's purpose for your life is. And when people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? You tell them, I want to be everything Jesus died on that cross for me to be. Because we instill in children the absolute wrong idea by asking them from the time they're old enough to talk, what do you want to be when you grow up? And every one of us as adults should know that we're most likely not going to choose the spiritual thing. So that's part one of my sermon. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand at the honor of the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The Bible says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray, Lord, that we'll just continue to worship you. God, I pray that you'll continue to speak to us. And God, I pray that for each person here, I pray that we would have a vision for what you want to do in our life. And God, I pray that we would understand that when we say that we have a vision, that we have to acknowledge that we have stepped onto a spiritual battlefield. And God, we have to have on the armor of God, and we have to realize that this fight is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And God, even if we choose not to fight, Lord, that just means we're going to lose without putting up any effort. So God, I pray that you would speak to us mightily through this word today. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you look at that verse, if you just look at it in your Bible, where the Bible says where there's no revelation, that word is vision. And the idea is that every saved person should have a vision from God about what they want to do, what God wants to do in their life. And the Bible says that where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. And that word means to run wild. It means to do whatever they want to do, whatever they think is best. And I want to offer to you that in 54 years that I've been attending church, if I was going to sum up church in 54 years, it's been a very well-meaning group of people doing what they think is best. Would you agree with that? Yes? No? You won't hurt my feelings if you say no. But for 54 years, I've seen it in the three or four churches that I've been a member of in 54 years. I've seen it. It's just a group of people doing whatever they think's best. And can I tell you something? The problem is we should be doing what God says, not what we think. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that people cast off restraints. They just do whatever they think they should do. But the rest of that verse says happy. And this word is a word that denotes a person or a nation that has a relationship with God, right? So this is not talking about unbelieving people, but it says, but happy is the person who has a relationship with God who keeps the law. Now, the word keep means to watch over. It means to guard. And, of course, if you know anything about the Bible, the word law, it's talking about to teach or instruct. And so this is what he's telling us in this verse. He's telling us that unless a person has a vision, unless that person has a revelation from God, then they're just going to go and do whatever they think is best. It may not be a bad thing, but it's not a God thing. And that's what this is about today. They're going to just go and they're just going to do whatever they think. But what he's saying is that when we have a relationship with God, a part of a relationship should come that vision. And when we have that vision and we have that relationship, then we have to guard it. Because there's going to be all these voices that are going to come and they're going to try to tell us what we should do. But what we have to go back to as Christian people is, what did God say? Now, the question then is, where do I find my vision? I want to offer to you that you will find your vision in the pages of Scripture. And when you actually sit down and write out your vision, one of the things that I want to make sure that you hear me say, you don't take your vision and lay it down on the Word of God. You take your vision and lay it down and you put the Word of God on top of it. And if you can't still see it, then you don't have God's vision. Amen? Oh, come on now. Amen? Listen, you got to know what God has said. And I want to make sure you hear me today. I'm asking every person here that is a Christian to start seeking God's vision for your life. If you are a deacon, I'm asking you to seek God's will for your deacon ministry. If you are a ministry team leader in this church, seek God's will for your ministry team. Whatever your position is, whatever you do, you seek God until you know what He wants you to do. And if you can't determine on your own, you get the people that serve in your ministry with you and you get together and you get in a room and you pray until you hear from God. Because God wants to do a work through your life. Never forget, God is an amazing, awesome, wonderful God, but God works through people. And God can't work through us if we haven't heard from Him. And so we got to be willing to make that commitment. And when we meet this afternoon, I'm going to share from my Sunday school class what my God-sized vision is for the class. And listen, if you have a family, you ought to have a God-sized vision for the ministry of your family. You ought to know what God wants to do. You ought to know what God is leading you to do. And you ought to be committed to it. Now, I want to tell you part of mine by reading an article. I'm just going to read parts of this. This article appeared on CNN, so it's neither pro nor con. It's not written by people that hate God. It's not written by people that love God. But it just lays out the truth better than I ever could. This is the problem. This is the problem that I believe God is calling me to. The article says, at its core, the Christian life is a set of sacred traditions linking generations of sacraments, Sunday school lessons, youth ministry morals, and family gatherings sanctified by prayer. An unbroken circle, in the words of an old hymn. In modern America, that circle may not be completely shot, but it's wobbly and badly bent. According to a new landmark study conducted by the Pew Research Center, released Tuesday, a survey of 35,000 American adults. So this is not just some random survey. 35,000 shows the Christian percentage of the population dropping precipitously to 70.6%. Listen to this. In 2007, the last time Pew conducted the survey, 78.4% of Americans called themselves Christians. So it's dropping 1% a year, basically slightly more than 1% a year. And it goes on to say that in the meantime, almost every major branch of Christianity in the United States has lost a significant number of members, Pew found, mainly because millennials are leaving the fold. More than one-third of millennials now say that they are unaffiliated with any faith. Up 10 percentage points since 2007. People who profess no faith affiliation, often called the nuns, as none of the above, now form 23% of our country's adult population. Can somebody say, oh my? Oh my. You'll say it when they pick out your nursing home. All right. Looking at the long view, the generational spans are striking. Whereas 85% of the silent generation, that's born between 1928 and 1945, call themselves Christians, just 56% of today's younger millennials born between 1990 and 1996 do the same. And listen to this. Even though the vast majority, about 8 in 10, were raised in religious homes. Each successive generation of Americans includes fewer Christians, Pew has found. To put it simply, older generations of Americans are not passing along their Christian faith as effectively as their forebears. We are watching the death of the church. We're watching it. It's happening every year. More and more and more and more people who know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior die without telling anybody. Right? That's a shame. It is a shame. And we need to realize the church in America is not dying because of the people that won't come. It's dying because those of us who come won't do what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And we're praying against somebody that God told us we're supposed to be reaching. Now listen, I just want to say this. This is not a recent realization for me. We had neighbors a long time ago, we had two neighbors. And I remember that she grew up, her dad was a pastor. And I remember they would not carry their children to church. We invited them a gazillion times. Would not carry their children to church. And I remember having this thought. What in the world? They're both Christians. What in the world are they going to do on Judgment Day when they are separated from their children forever? What are they going to do? What are they going to say to their children? Well, we were safe when we were young, and you know, we just hoped it worked out for you. Listen, we need to realize this problem is real, and it's right here in Rankin County. I want to give you my vision real quickly for my family as we go into this. This is the vision that I have for my family. It's Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." In other words, respect Him. Do what He says. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And then He just says, "Serve the Lord!" Exclamation point. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That is the vision for 3258 Highway 18. And I just want to say this. Neither one of my children are in here at this moment. But I want to say this. If you're here and you think you're going to have that as your vision for your family and it not be World War III when you have teenagers, get ready. Right? If you think teenagers are going to say, "Oh, I think it's a good idea," get ready. That's all I'm going to say, is just get ready. But listen, you can serve the Lord. You can have a vision for what God wants to do through your house, through your family. And through faith, you can see it come to pass. But what you have to realize is it's not going to be easy. And I want to challenge you to have a vision for your job. If you're going through sickness, I want to challenge you. Have a vision from God. Why, what, how is God going to use that sickness? If you have a rebellious child, I want to challenge you. Have a vision from God. God, how are you going to use this rebellious child to bring glory to yourself? Now, the question has to be asked, what keeps people from knowing and doing God's will? It's a very easy answer. It's one word and it's got three letters in it. Does anybody want to say it or y'all want me to say it? Sin. That's exactly what it is. And I want you to know that when we go into what God's vision has given me is, I want you to know it has not been easy. As a matter of fact, it's been a multi-year process. And I'm going to give you the verse. I think this is the third week in a row that I've read it. Might be God trying to tell me something. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness," that word just means arrogance, "is as iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being king." And He was talking to Saul. And one of the things that God has brought me back to over and over and over and over, it is not enough to be able to say, "I know." It's not enough to be able to say, "I know." It's not enough to be able to say, "I know what I should do, but." You know, that is the, and I'm talking to myself, but do you know, that is the most arrogant statement that I can make. That I know God, and I know what He wants me to do. I know what He's told me to do. That's the most arrogant words that can come out of a human being's mouth. Right? Genesis 3:17, God has used this verse with me many times through the years. He's talking to Adam, and He says to Adam, "Because you heeded the voice of your wife, And I don't know how many times in my own personal prayer life as I would talk to God and God would talk to me, I don't know how many times God has told me over and over and over, do not heed the voice of another. But do you know how difficult that is to do? Do you know how difficult that is to do? Because if we are honest, most of us in this room know what to do. Most of us don't need a revelation from Scripture about what to do. But where the discussion starts is then, what are we going to do? Are we going to listen to the voice of the naysayer that says, nobody wants to do that? Are we going to listen to the voice of the naysayer that says, that's impossible? Are we going to listen to the voice of the naysayer that says, you don't have to go to church to be saved? Are we going to listen to the voice of the naysayer that says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Are we as a people going to say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty? Thus saith the Lord. Well, I want to share with you something that, as I said earlier, has been a multi-year process. And if you look in your bulletin, I asked them to put that in there so you can kind of read along. It'll make it a little bit easier. I'm going to be putting Scripture up, and you're going to see some verses of Scripture, and we're going to talk about it. Now, before we go into this, I'm going to give you the invitation. The invitation of this message is very, very, very simple. The invitation is going to be this. Do you believe you're going to see Jesus one day? Yes. Bob says yes. Chad's shaking his head yes. Anybody in here believe you're going to see Jesus one day? Amen. Yes, we're going to see Jesus one day. And folks, I don't know which we're going to be more ashamed of. Our out-and-out blatant sin or our arrogance. Right? Because we're going to see the Lord God that spoke and created everything with a spoken word. And we're going to see those nail prints in his hands. We're going to see his feet. We're going to see the scars on his back. And we're going to know he died for me. And we're going to also realize at that moment that when you invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that is too difficult for him. There is nothing that is impossible for him. And listen, when we say we believe that, then there ought to be some results that match that. Right? And I just want to offer this, and I'm going to point all 10 of mine at me, so don't throw your Bible at me. But maybe we don't sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" like we mean it, because we don't really know it. You know, when you find out the faithfulness of God, you find out the faithfulness of God when you don't have nowhere else to turn. You find out the faithfulness of God when there is nowhere else to go. There is no one else to turn to. It's either Jesus or nothing. Then you find out the faithfulness of God. We just happen to live in America with 62 Southern Baptist churches just in Rankin County and 438 grocery stores. And so we just automatically assume. And we're making a very false assumption based on the fact that we live in a land that's blessed by God. And folks, in the end, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether good or bad. And I'll guarantee you, we're going to be ashamed of our sins and we're going to be equally as ashamed of our missed opportunity. So, you look in your bulletin. I'm going to try not to just bog down and preach every word of this, but I'm giving you this. And I know full well that when I put that in that bulletin and gave it to you, I can't wander off and do anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you to see it. I want you to have it. I want you to hold me accountable. Because I would much rather have your loving help than stand before the Lord and Him say, what did you say? So, if you look at it, it just says, each Christian, and boy, that's just right there is the sermon in and of itself. Listen, if you and I belong to the Lord, then let's live like it. Right? Each Christian will be encouraged to forsake sin and choose to love the Lord God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and make serving Him the primary focus of their life while worshiping Him daily in spirit and in truth. All right, so the first thing that we want to do as a church is to encourage you to forsake your sin. Encourage me to forsake my sin of stubbornness and willingness to listen to another person's voice. Listen, we have to do what God said. We have to love the Lord, and we have to make worshiping Him a part of our daily lives. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you look at these verses on the screen, there are no greater verses in the Bible. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that word present is a term in a courtroom. It's an exhibit. In other words, you be evidence that this is true. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.